Well, good morning, everybody. Welcome to the worship service this morning. We're delighted to hear Willie Watt Wheeze after quite a number of years, Willie, since you were here last. But thank you for being willing to come. I'm particularly glad that Willie has come because he did tell me that he's sometimes called away at short notice. So I was kind of, you know, I was prepared for Willie not to be here, but I tell you why, if it happened. But I'm glad you're here, Willie. And may the Lord bless you as you bring the Lord's word later on in the service. I'll be leading for a short period of time, and then after a third hymn, I'll hand over to Willie. And the last hymn's written down here, but just in case you kind of read my writing, Willie, it's "How Sweet the Name of Jesus Sounds," which is lovely. How sweet the name of Jesus sounds in a believer's ear. Praise the Lord. So we thank the Lord. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it, even in the cold weather, with the drafts coming in, the wind is, because James Reed told me still a draft coming through from the poor folk on a Saturday morning or day in Pilates. Don't worry, I'm on my knees praying for you on a Saturday morning. So there's still Pilates on a Saturday morning, but here's the announcements anyway. There's tea following the service, so please come through to the back hall for a cup of tea following the service. Knit and Natter's on tomorrow in the church at 2 o'clock. Children's meeting is at 6:30 tomorrow night. Continue to pray for the children's meeting. The children's meeting social is on Monday the 25th, I think it is, of March at 6:30. And that's open for everybody to come. So if you can come and support the children then, that would be great. Our prayer meeting on Wednesday night is on Zoom at 7:30. Now, you will have heard by now that Muriel Evans died this week, and Muriel was a very faithful Christian, as you all can. And her funeral is here on Thursday at 10 o'clock in the morning, to which you're invited, and the teas are in the leisure centre following the interment at Kirkton. So pray for Pauline and Pam and John and all my other family at this time. But it is a time, although it's a time of grieving, it's a time of rejoicing for the Christian that this is the, I was going to say the end of the beginning, but I'm not sure how to phrase it, but you know, there's a day, an eternal day coming for the believer. So it's only good. It only gets better for us as Christians. The Thursday fitness and fellowship is on Thursday night, and the walk, the outside walk, weather permitting, is more popular than the badminton and table tennis, actually. So if you want to come for a walk, it starts at 6:30, and you can get a cup of tea after it as well. Do continue to pray for the Sandhaven Brownies and the Boys Brigade, who are meeting here in the church building on Thursday nights and Friday nights, and the Pilates, as I mentioned, at 9:30 on a Saturday morning. Paul Crowe is speaking, God willing, next Sunday morning. Do continue to pray for those that are laid aside. I should say that I sent out AGM members' papers on Friday night. That meeting is on Tuesday the 26th, as it all he said. But there is voting papers as a reminder to go through the books this morning. But if you've forgotten to talk them, just let me know if you're thinking. But I mean, I'm sure it'll be a positive response to Amanda Stephen starting up a support group for recovered addicts from I can't mind what date it is, Monday the 25th, is it, Gary? Aye. So pray for Amanda and the people that she will be supporting as part of the Turning Point Scotland work there. And as I said in the past, there is materials for folk, anybody to help themselves, tell gospels and tracts and stuff, and the vestibule table. But I'm going to hate to put out another table, because this is World Book Week. I can't resist a bargain. And so I've bought heaps of tracts and books and nothing to give away. And folk can help themselves to it, including yourselves. So please do avail yourselves of them. And I'm going into Aberdeen next week because it's still World Book until the end of March. So, you know, this precious seed is worth sowing, isn't it? You can. And we need to sow it with tears and reap with joy. Now, Margaret Taylor phoned me up this morning. She's not here today. She's slightly under the weather, but she phoned up and she said that she had moved to Northern Court. So if you're planning on visiting Margaret, she's in Northern Court now, which is great, great for her. So she's been emptying out house this past week or two. Aileen was up for a week as well. Now, I heard just this morning that George Taylor died last night, aged 80 years old. You might remember George Taylor. Apparently, I didn't realise that George Taylor was once a treasurer in the church, but Jim Smith tells me he was. So remember Francis in your prayers. George apparently took pneumonia and died last night, and they've no long moved down south, really, came to be with her family. So remember Francis in your prayers at this time. So let me read a little bit of scripture to you in the Songs of Solomon before we sing our first hymn, Leaning on the Everlasting Arms. My beloved has gone down to his garden, to the beds of spices, to graze in the gardens and to gather lilies. I am my beloved's and my beloved is mine. He grazes among the lilies. You know, we're the Lord's this morning, I trust, and he is ours. So let's sing together. We'll stand together and sing our first hymn, Leaning on the Everlasting Arms. And then Andrew Young's going to come up and lead us in prayer. Thank you.
Let's continue to worship the Lord and let's pray together. So our God and Heavenly Father, we bow in your presence with the reassuring words we've just been singing. It is good to know, as the scripture says, the eternal God is your refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. Thank you for all you've done for us, Heavenly Father, and help us to remember you are our Heavenly Father. You care for us, you support us, you will never leave us nor forsake us. Heavenly Father, we worship you this morning. Thank you for the many blessings which are ours. Thank you for the gift of life and the many good things you give us to enjoy. But I want to thank you most of all, Heavenly Father, for so great salvation and such a wonderful Saviour. Thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, the one who came to this world and knew no sin yet became sin for us. He freely offered up his life for sinners like us. Thank you for a wonderful Saviour. Thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. And if we have turned from our sin and we've put our faith and trust in him, thank you, we are indeed leaning on the everlasting arms. We are indeed saved for time and for all eternity. And we have hope in a day, in days which when there seems to be no hope. Thank you, Heavenly Father, there is hope through knowing you and through your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Cleanse us of our sin. We pray, thank you for the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And we do pray that you'd cleanse us and fill us with your Spirit. And help us to be ready to serve you now and in the days to come. Help us to walk faithfully with you. We're reminded, Heavenly Father, here we have no continuing city. We're looking for the city which is to come. Thank you that our Lord and Saviour is coming again for his people. We pray, come, Lord Jesus. But until that day, help us to labour on for you, Heavenly Father, to live our lives in the light of his coming. And Heavenly Father, as well, before that day as well, we pray for a great ingathering of souls. Young people in particular, your word declares, remember your great in the days of their youth, bliss in the days of your youth. Pray, thank you, Lord God, for work in schools and work amongst young people in the town and community. And we do pray it will bring forth good and lasting fruit now and in days to come. And Heavenly Father, we do pray for the salvation of the lost. Still much work to be done in the town and community here, Heavenly Father, and we do pray, Lord, with eternity without Christ, there's no hope. So, Heavenly Father, help us be faithful in witnessing for you and standing firm for you and living out our lives for you, Lord, being faithful ambassadors of the kingdom. Bless our time together today, Lord. We know that people have been suffering and have been laid aside through ill health and not able to get out to the house of the Lord anymore. We are remembering then Margaret Taylor today, Lord, how she's been laid aside. But thank you that she's into a new setting, Lord, a new home. I'm just praying to help her to settle in there. And we just pray for her that she'll be feeling better, Lord, as the day and as time goes on. And Heavenly Father, we're mindful there's a number of people have been bereaved in recent times that we know of, especially, Lord, for the family of Muriel Evans, Lord. Thank you for her bright personality and her faithful witness down through the years. And we just pray that you'd comfort those. Thank you that she is with Christ, which is far better. We just pray that you'd give comfort to family and give comfort to friends, Lord, at this time. Comfort those who mourn, we pray. And Heavenly Father, help us to just simply keep on trusting in you. Thank you for Willie, who's come to minister this morning. Just pray that you'd help him. He's working witness, Lord, and help him as he preaches here today. And Lord, bring your word afresh to us. Speak to our hearts, Lord God, we pray. Thank you, Heavenly Father, that you're still building your church. We can rejoice this week even in the Heavenly Father, this week even hearing the news of a 16-year-old boy being converted at a funeral service, Lord. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that Jesus saves. Salvation is of the Lord, but thank you you're still calling people to yourself. Lord God, bless this day. Bless our time together. Help us in our worship of you and speak to our hearts. May we know it was good to be in the house of the Lord. Be with others out preaching today as well. Be with the other meetings across the town and community. And indeed, throughout our land, bless the preaching of your word. We pray that you'd strengthen your church and add to it, we pray. So, Heavenly Father, thank you for this time in your presence. May we know it was good to be in the house of the Lord. We pray all that is said and done here would be pleasing to you and bring glory to your name. We pray these things in the lovely name of Jesus Christ, our Saviour and the only Saviour of mankind. We pray, Amen.
Thank you, Andrew. Now, as if I'd laid for a turn round that he was okay on, because I wonder if it was happening with the playing, but I think it was maybe the wrong number or something like that. Is that right, Owen? But, Leaning On, is there another hymn like the day we're leaning on, is there? Oh, no. No, it's okay. Hopefully it seems all right. We're all right for there is a name I love to hear. Is that any okay, aye? No, it's fine, aye. There's nothing to do with singing a cappella, by the way. It was lovely. You sung really well. And, I just to reminisce a bit, like, I miss at times a spontaneous chorus singing. You know, it didn't matter whether it was like a keyboard or a guitar or if it was, but folk would raise up a chorus and you would go with it, Ken. And when we got a chorus, they want to go with Margaret. What do you think? One thing? No? I'm not just picking in Margaret, like, but if you've got one thing, I just love the spontaneity of singing to the Lord and that. And we didn't do enough of that. So, if you've got one thing, just put up your hand and we'll go with it, okay? Whether one can play it or no, because, like, we appreciate one very much and we appreciate the musicians and we should hear more of them. And one kens what. And, but you can make a joyful noise to the Lord anyway, and we will. So, with musical accompaniment for on, we're going to stand and sing There Is a Name I Love to Hear. Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, the song actually came to me when I was singing that song. And Christine will play the video after on, but during the tea. But our granddaughter's learning a lot of songs I knew. And you can, it's lovely to hear your children's children singing about the Lord and that. And the Monday night, it's a joy to hear the kids singing. Oh, can we're praising the Lord and that. And the words going in, because we're learning a scripture every week and there's a story and all that. But it's great to see the bairns praising the Lord. But I like this version of Jesus Loves Me. It is Jesus Loves Me, isn't it, Christine? So it goes like this. Jesus loves daddy, Jesus loves daddy, Jesus loves daddy, the Bible tells me so. I mean, that's top of the pops as far as I'm concerned, like, Ken. But she can sing it, she can sing the first verse and the chorus and stuff like that, Ken. And let's sing it. Oh, I didn't worry about playing. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. And you can, that's one message to everybody that we meet, isn't it, Ken? Whether we use words or no, Ken, they'll see the Lord in us. There's no question about that. And may that happen for our young bairns in our community as well as the other folk as well. That might be hard-hearted, but the Lord will break through hard hearts and that they would open their hearts to the Lord Jesus himself. So we're going to stand and sing us third time, and then Willie will come up and give us the Lord's message and close with a hymn and a prayer. We're going to stand and sing it as well with my soul. Thank you.
Thank you. Well, good morning. Can you hear me okay, first of all? Aye. Guys, I said to them this morning, I says, now mark me sound good, okay? I'll shift this a wee bit, because you'll maybe notice I'm kind of short, kind. Have you noticed that? Jim, we can look one another in the eye, yeah? Yeah. It's really fine to be with you this morning. It's a long time since I've been here. I think the last time I was here was Evan Ritchie's funeral. I spoke at Evan's funeral. But I have been here before that, but it's quite a long time ago. So, delighted to be with you. It's got a life of its own, that thing, isn't it? Yeah. I've been over the country. Started up in Shetland and then was doing in England and back here and then doing in England again, and they need missionaries doing here, I'm telling you. That's a joke, by the way, just in case there's somebody from England here, okay, that's a joke, okay. We had a great time doing there. And just latterly we were in Hamilton. I was in Belgar and I thought that was going to be me retiring, and then I got asked to come down to Hamilton, so I was there for the last 5 years, nay, the last 2015 to 2020, and then I retired and then started working again, so I'm back on boats. So that's what I'm doing. That's a wee bit of the history. There's a lot of the folk I ken here, some I didn't ken, but James was in my class at the school. The other James is the same age as me. I think it's around about 45-ish, isn't it? Yeah, around about that, roughly. But I would like to bring the word of the Lord to you this morning. And I just felt I should bring a word of encouragement, which I hope you'll find encouraging. But also a word that challenges us. Because we don't want to rest in our laurels. We want to be challenged, because there's new places to go in God. And it was the valley of dry bones, which doesn't sound encouraging first of all, but I believe there's an encouraging message within that. So if you've got your Bibles, it will be up in the wall. It's Ezekiel chapter 37. If you just rather listen to me reading it, that's fine enough. So Ezekiel chapter 37 verse 1, the hand of the Lord was on me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. He led me back and forth among them, and I saw a great many bones on the floor of the valley, bones that were very dry. He asked me, Son of man, can these bones live? I said, Sovereign Lord, you alone know. Then he said to me, prophesy to these bones and say to them, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the Sovereign Lord says to these bones: I will make breath enter you, and you will come to life. I will attach tendons to you and make flesh come upon you and cover you with skin. I will put breath in you, and you will come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I was prophesying, there was a noise, a rattling sound, and the bones came together, bone to bone. I looked, and tendons and flesh appeared on them, and skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, prophesy to the breath, prophesy, son of man, and say to it, this is what the Sovereign Lord says, come breath from the four winds and breathe into these slain that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath entered them and they came to life and stood up on their feet, a vast army. Then he said to me, son of man, these bones are the people of Israel. They say, our bones are dried up and our hope is gone. We are cut off. Therefore, prophesy and say to them, this is what the Sovereign Lord says, my people, I am going to open your graves and bring you up from them. I will bring you back to the land of Israel. Then you, my people, will know that I am the Lord when I open your graves and bring you up from them. I will put my spirit in you, and you will live, and I will settle you in your own land. Then you will know that I, the Lord, have spoken and have done it, declares the Lord. Ezekiel was a prophet in the Old Testament, the old times in Israel. He was the son of a priest, but he was one of those that was carried away captive by the Babylonians. But this young man, he had a vision. And in the midst of all the despair and everything they were feeling at the time, God gave him a vision, and he could see heaven opened in the middle of the darkness. That would be good this morning, wouldn't it? That heaven was opened to us, and he saw the glory of God. So in the middle of the hopelessness, he saw something absolutely wonderful. And God had his call upon him to be a watchman over Israel. But the people of Israel at that time was in a very, very dark place. They were kept in captivity. And he went to the river to sit with the people. And he says he sat there for 7 days. And he saw how they were. And it says he was appalled. And I was thinking, like the situation in Gaza, it had been probably something like that. He was sitting in and he was looking at the desperation of the folk, and he was just appalled with the situation. He saw also another vision. He saw the glory of the Lord departing, and oh, dearie me. It must have just felt like the end. And then we come to this vision that God gave him, the valley of the dry bones. So here he was. He's seeing this vision. Carnage. Devastation. Desolation. All around him. A valley of dry bones. And he must have been thinking, because I would have been thinking, well, is there any hope? Can things really change? Is there hope? And we could say that today, couldn't we? Because it seems it's a different generation. And this is not just looking at the good old days with rose-tinted glasses, but it's a different generation. As a generation, not so much here, but especially where I've been, they didn't know who Jesus is. All they knew was a swear word. They didn't know there was a Jesus that actually lived on this world. It came to save them for their sins. So it's a different generation. And God spoke to Ezekiel in this valley of dry bones. He said, Ezekiel, can these bones live? So my message to you this morning is, and somebody has said, oh, the numbers have gone down and so on. Well, can these bones live? Can they? Absolutely they can. So he's surrounded by dry, dry bones. I was thinking about the Northeast here. We've been privileged. It's not in my day, but in days gone by, privileged to have multiple revivals. And here, especially in this place, you've seen it. It's happened here. Can these bones live? So that word live means to live anew. Not what was before, to live now, to live anew. To recover, to be restored. I've studied lots moves of God and revivals, and every one of them, bar none, was preceded by an upsurge of fervent prayer. Fervent prayer. This is what one preacher said, and I'll come back to this again. He said, there's never been a spiritual awakening in any country or locality that did not begin with united, concerted, sustained prayer. United, that's together, isn't it? That's not on your own, that's together, united. And concerted means specific. It's targeted. We're praying specifically for this. And sustained is, I'm not giving up. I'm going to keep on going. I'm going to push through. So Ezekiel, it says the hand of God was upon him. He wasn't there by accident. He just didn't stumble into a valley of dry bones. It says the Spirit of the Lord led him there. And I want to encourage you this morning. You are not here by chance. You're not here by accident. This is where God has placed you. Because he wants to do something anew. Right in the middle of the valley. Right in the middle. Now sometimes valleys are beautiful blessing, wasn't it? This is a horrible valley. It was like a desert. It was a spiritual cemetery. That's what it was. Covered in bones. It was like Death Valley. But I think we need to see where folk are. To experience what they're experiencing. Me and my wife Jane, she couldn't be here this morning, but we were shopping in Aberdeen. This is when we was in Peterhead. Right. Only Peterheaders here. Oh, I better not say anything. They need missionaries now, don't they? Said his Belgar. Was Biden Peterhead. We went through to Aberdeen. Am I all right speaking like this? I can't talk, you know. Yeah. But as long as you're understanding, Maya. Right, we get to Aberdeen shopping. And see if you can through that in Union Street. And you can do in the back, you know. Get out stairs and you can get across the road to Union Square. Jane says to me, she's a real heart for homeless folk. She says, Willie, there's a guy sits down here. You need to speak to him. I'm thinking, that's a goodie. Why do you need to speak to him? See, so anyway, there's this guy sitting on the pavement. And I thought, well, I'll just sit down and speak to him. And so I was speaking to him and using, and he was telling me his story. And I went against his story, but he told me his story, and I says, he was on drugs. I says, listen, I could get a lot of rehab, and he says, you've never thought now? He said, I didn't even get how to do it. I said, well, I could. And anyway, so by this time, Jane has finished her shop, and she comes back, and where I was, up at stairs, and coming out to the front, came for Primark, is. She says, now, Willie, are there in here? Sitting outside, I said, Jane, I can't speak to Ma. And she says, well, Jesus would. Oh, no need for that. So, in East, I'm sitting in the Union Street on the pavement with this lad and her. But sometimes, we have to sit there to get a feel of what's really happening around us. Because we didn't get the burden. We'll never feel and care. And if we didn't have the burden, we'll never pray like what we should pray. So can these bones live? Ezekiel. And he gave what I would describe as the politician's answer. Well, you know, Lord, again, it's a non-committal, isn't it? It's nay a yes or a no. Well, you know, Lord. See, if I'd been me, because I'm a black and white kind of guy, I would have had a dialogue with God. I would have been looking at his bones, thinking, can they live? Well, it doesn't look like it to me. I've never seen this happen before. It looks impossible to me. But then I would have said this. But Lord, you're God. You can do anything. There's nothing too hard for you. I kind of see it with my mind. But I can, you could do anything. You know, Lord. And then the Lord spoke to Ezekiel. He says, Ezekiel, prophesy to these bones. It's never happened before. Prophesy to these dry bones. And the word there is a Hebrew word, and it's Naba, N-A-B-A. This is what it means. It means to cause to bubble up, to be inspired, or to speak the word of the Lord. And I'm sure you've all felt this at times where you just, oh, it's just something bubbling up, and it's like a joy. And I was just near along the pastor up in Shetland in Lerwick, and I went into the meeting, and I was up in my little office. I'd locked the door, and I was on my own, and I play the accordion pretty badly, I must admit, but yeah, I play it anyway. And so I was in my little office, and I started to pray and worship, and I was singing a war, and I was singing, you can hear my hymn, And Can It Be? That's one of my favorite hymns, anyway. So I was singing a war, and see, and you just feel like, oh, Ken, I was roaring out to me, Ken. And I was roaring out to me, because nobody's coming in, and the office door opened. I just about had a heart attack, honestly. I'm going, oh, no. Right in the middle of my, and it was seen in my younger man had come in. He says, oh, I had a key for the door. I wonder if it was going on with the other racket. But this is what it is. Prophesy, prophesy to these dead bones. Can you get your head around that? Bones everywhere. Prophesy to them. I would have been thinking, that's foolishness. How can I prophesy to something that's dead? I'm fairly sure Ezekiel was glad he was on his own. Because, see, if you're on your own, you kind of make a fool of yourself in front of everybody, can't you? So he says, right, I'm going to have a go. And he prophesied. This is what the sovereign Lord says to these bones. I will make breath enter you, and you will come to life. I will attach tendons to you and make flesh come upon you and cover you with skin. I will put breath in you, and you will come to life. And when, as soon as he did, there was a rattling sound. And bones started to come to bone, and remember our, that song again. Them bones, them dry bones. Now hear the word of the Lord. Can these bones live? I was reading before I came out some of your history in the jock troop days. And it's now that we're harking back to the old times. We want the new times. Where he came up that steps and into this building. And in those days, there was a mighty outpouring of God. And I just wonder this morning, before I came, wouldn't it be here to, great to hear a rattling sound again, where bones are coming together with bones and tendons and muscle and flesh and skin appeared, and out of the deadness there was life. So the bones came together in Ezekiel's vision. And now he had form and order. And we've got to have form and order. And I often think in the churches I've been in, you've got to have a certain form and order and how you do things. There's got to be that. But we also need the breath of God. Adam was created a perfect human being, but until God breathed into him, it was only form and order. But when God breathed into him, he became a living human soul. And it's the same in our services. It's the same in our personal lives. We need the breath of God. So God spoke to Ezekiel again. He says, prophesy to the breath. This is what the sovereign Lord says. Come, breath, from the four winds and breathe into these slain that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath entered them, and they came to life and stood up on their feet, a vast army. So come, breath. Come, breath of God. That word there is the word ruach. We can easily say that in Scotland, can't we? Ruach, it means to blow or to breathe. One of the fishing boats I was on, I was a really, really serious accident. And I'm not mentioning any names or anything, but it was a really, 2 weeks prior, I'd done this, kind of at first aid courses. And the thing that I remembered was ABC, airways, breathing, circulation. So this guy had a really bad head injuries and punctured lungs. And I was praying all the time. I was on the stern of the boat with this guy, and I was other guy with, and I thought, he's going to stop breathing. And Ken, you're thinking, airways, breathing, circulation. And I watched his breathing just getting shallower, shallower, and then he stopped breathing. And our blood coming from everywhere. And they say, you shouldn't have given the kiss of life. And I thought, well, he's going to die. And I thought, well, I've no option. So I started breathing for him. And then somebody else gave me a spell. And we got him breathing again. Come, breath of God. I'll just let you know that guy survived. It was a miracle he survived. Miracle he survived. Come, breath of God. Because when God begins to breathe, it makes things alive. Changes the deadness to freshness and life and vitality. And you've seen it in the past. And I celebrate the past. We kind of live there, can't we? There's a whole generation grown up that need to know the Lord. In the Hebrides, you probably know this stuff. There was a revival in the Hebrides. And one of the men that was used mightily there was Duncan Campbell. And this is some of the things he said. He says, I didn't bring revival. He says, revival was already there. He says, I didn't come with high pressure evangelism or campaigns or crusades. And there's nothing wrong with them, okay? He says, but this is, and I quote, he says, it was a moving of God in the community, and suddenly the community became conscious of God. Two old ladies, 84 and 82, they prayed and they prayed and they prayed. At that time, I was not a young person in the church, But they had a promise from God. I will pour water on him that is thirsty and floods upon the dry ground. And they, every Tuesday they prayed from 10 o'clock in the morning till 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And then one of them had a vision. A vision. 84, 82. They had a vision. And they could see the churches full, and they're full of young people. And then they saw this minister that they'd never seen before preaching. So they called the local minister, and then the elders, and then they started to pray together. I remember how I started. United, concerted, sustained prayer. And so they met in a barn for 6 weeks, and they prayed and they prayed and they prayed. And eventually, God began to move and did amazing, supernatural things that only he can do. So let me conclude. Can these bones live? Well, can they? Absolutely they can. But, it'll take me and you to do it. Working in conjunction with God. Never been a spiritual awakening in any country or locality that did not begin in united, concerted, sustained prayer. 2 Chronicles 7:14, and I'm fairly sure you'll all know it. If my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and turn another wicked way and pray, God says, then he will hear from heaven and he will come and heal our land. Prayer is a theme all the way, Old Testament, New Testament, all the way through, and there's all different kind of prayer. There's private, there's public, there's collective, there's united. There's all kinds of prayer. The important thing is that we pray, that we seek God. Here's a few quotes, and then I'll be finished. Benjamin Franklin said, "Work as if you were to live 100 years, and pray as if you were to die tomorrow." Charles Finney said, "Nothing tends more to cement the hearts of Christians than praying together. Never do they love one another so well as when they witness the outpouring of each other's heart in prayer." And Billy Graham said, "To get nations back on their feet, we must first get down on our knees and pray." I hope that I've encouraged you this morning, but equally I hope that I've challenged you this morning. Because, like Ezekiel, not here by chance. He didn't just wander in off the streets. He didn't do that in the Valley of the Dry Bones. God placed him there. And God has a work for every one of us to do. I was speaking to James before the meeting started, and he was showing me around the building, and he says, "I've gained for a skipper to fit a dickie, a skipper to a dickie." I'm not sure how many churches I've been in, but if there was our skippers, nothing would have happened. Nothing. We need everybody working together, whether you're a skipper or a deckie or a mate or an engineer or whatever, to make the thing work. Everybody has to work together. I'm going to pray and then we'll get to sing our final hymn. Father, we come before you this morning and we thank you, Lord, so much for what you have done. Thank you for all the folk here this morning. I pray, Lord, that you will take them and encourage them, but Lord, even as the challenge has gone out, that they will rise to that challenge and that they will see that these bones can live in Jesus' name. I pray your blessing upon them and that, Lord, you'll lead them and you'll guide them and that you'll bring people in, that they'll go out and speak to people too, and that, Lord, this place will again be full for the glory of your name. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now I can't read your writing. I'm not a great singer, so once we start, I'll switch this off, okay? It's How Sweet the Name of Jesus Sounds. We've got an introduction and then we'll get a stand. Is that right? Is that how you do it? Father, we just come before you today. Thank you, Lord, for fellowship. Thank you for all that you've done for us, Lord. You've saved us, you keep us, you bless us every single day. We don't deserve it, Lord. It's by your grace alone. And now, Lord, as we're going for a cup of tea, we pray you'll just bless this to our bodies too. Help us, Lord, to serve you as we should. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.